The gospel reading today is from Matthew's gospel. It's the story of the unfolding of Jesus' ministry. And we begin in the fourth chapter today, beginning with verse 12. It's the story of Jesus beginning to call disciples, followers, learners, students, apprentices. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, by your word, transform our words. Let what you would have spoken be spoken and heard, and all else might be forgotten quickly. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I was fortunate to grow up in a great family. And you know, families can teach you wonderful things. Families can teach you that God is good. Families can teach you that. And families can teach you that creation is good, that the world is good. They can teach you that God is good and that the world is good. And they can also even teach you that you're good because God made you. And you got some skills and you got some talents and you got some gifts to share. So families can get us started off right. They can teach us, you know, that God's good and the world's good and we're good. And families can get us going right. But they can teach us some important things. Of course, families can teach us other things too. My family, I suppose like all families, also taught us some other lessons. Sometimes lessons that they taught us subtly, that not explicitly, just subtly. And sometimes, I suppose all families teach us who it is that God really loves the best. Who are really God's favorite people? I grew up in the suburbs on the eastern end of Birmingham. And from an early age, I learned the lesson subtly that we were really from the best part of town. If you were from West End, well, West End, they're just a little more rough over there, a little more unrefined. And the folks on Southside, now Southside, everybody knows they're just a little bit snobby. They're snooty. They're blue bloods. They thought they were better than everybody else. But we were from the east end of the town. Just right. Really the best. Certainly God's favorites. My family never came out and said that, but we knew that. We got it. Families teach us lots of things. Back then, my daddy's people knew they were also blessed by God because they were Republicans. Now, this was back in the 50s. 40s, 50s, 60s. There were not many of those in Alabama. They could have held their convention in a big Cadillac somewhere. That was back when Alabama was a one-party state. It was just obvious to my daddy's people, not so much to my mama's people, but to my daddy's people, that Republicans, they were just a little more high-minded. Just a little more thoughtful. Just a better class of people. We got that, you know, growing up. My family was also an Auburn family. My dad and granddad, several uncles and aunts went to Auburn. And we knew on Saturday afternoons that when God was at home with just the angels, you know, they were listening to Auburn football and they were wearing blue and orange robes. We just sort of knew that. Now, in those years, of course, Auburn didn't win as many games as they have in more recent years. But that just made us understand we were more noble because we were so much better losers and good sports. And if that builds character and virtue, because, I mean, you know, if you win all the time and you go around just bragging about Bear Bryant all the time, I mean, that can't build character. You know, you got to lose some and be good-natured about it. We knew that. We understood that. Who were the better people? And I was a Protestant Christian, a Methodist. Everybody on our street was Protestant. You know, Baptist here, Baptist there, Methodist here. And around there, a Presbyterian family, over there, a Presbyterian family. There was only one family on our street who was not Protestant. And they couldn't really help it because they were Italian. They were transplanted from up north, and they were like foreigners to us. I mean, we ate fried chicken and pork chops and sweet potatoes, and they ate this exotic dish that we had never heard. It was called lasagna. I mean, this was 1958. I mean, it was so exotic. My mother really liked our Catholic neighbor, Julie, because Julie was funny and sassy. She talked fast with this thick New York accent. She and my mother were the two best women bridge players in the neighborhood. I mean, they were legendary. When the times when the women in the neighborhood were playing bridge, if Mother and Julie were partners, I mean, you just stood back. They just ran the table. I mean, they were an unstoppable force at bridge. And they loved to play. Of course, my mother had to coach Julie a little bit that when you invite the better people in the neighborhood over for a bridge party, the Methodist women from the Women's Society of Christian Service and the Baptist women from the Baptist Women's Missionary Union, good Southern hospitality does not mean, okay, gals, I got beer and Chianti. What you having? No. You just learn who the good people are. Because the good people in our neighborhood, in our street, they sort of knew what kind of empty bottles were in your garbage can. And the good folks, God's favored people, they took notice on who got everybody up and got the kids out into the station wagon on Sunday morning and went to church and who slept in. They sort of know. They noticed who were the good people, who kept the yards up and who didn't. Families taught you all this stuff. Older brothers and sisters taught younger brothers and sisters on Halloween. Yeah, they give Milky Ways. They give wax paper bags with stale popcorn. You sort of learned. Who are the good folks? Who God loved the best? And all families do that. Our families subtly teach us all that. And of course, in those days, in my neighborhood, anyone who was not Caucasian or not, had not confessed Jesus, I mean, they weren't anywhere on the list. Our families, you see, families do not stop at teaching us that God loves us. And that we're God's children. And that we're good and God's good and creation is good. They also want to teach us who God loves the best. And who God does not love. And who are not His children. And I suppose that's why Jesus had to go down to that pier at Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee that day and call James and John and Simon and Andrew to come and follow him for a while, to come and learn from him for a while. That's probably why they needed to leave their dad, old man Zebedee, in the fishing boat, at least for a while. There'll be other stories when they're back to fishing in that part of the world. Their daddy and their mama, they probably taught them some wonderful things, noble things. There are some things they taught them well. They taught them to the point that they were able to recognize God's presence in Jesus when they saw him. So they did a good job, we assume. The Zebedee boys and Andrew and Simon, two sets of brothers, the first ones called. Interesting. Two sets of brothers had probably learned well in their family that as Jews, they were part of God's chosen people. But Jesus wanted to show them some other people that God had also chosen. Jesus wanted to introduce them to a bigger family. He wanted to show them that other people, by virtue of having been created by this good God and had God's life breathed into them, that they were also God's children. You know, there are a couple of ways you can read the Old Testament. You can read the Old Testament and read all those parts where the prophets and the teachers are saying, we're God's people, we're God's people, we're God's people. And sometimes that comes along as, we're the best, they're the worst. But there's another way to read that. You have to read the prophets, and you have to read books like Ruth, and you have to read books like Jonah, and you got to read these other voices that are also there, and they're saying, yes, we're God's people. Yes, we're blessed, but we are blessed to be a blessing. Yes, we are chosen, but we're chosen to teach everybody that they're chosen by God. And Jesus is one who gets it. Jesus quotes Isaiah more than anything else. Isaiah is the book where the prophet says, my house, my temple, will be a house of prayer for all people. All people. Isaiah is the one where the prophet says, Israel, you will be a light to all the nations. Everybody's going to see the good you do and become like you. Isaiah, that's the one that says, people will come from east and west and north and south and sit at the table in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus comes to help these guys know what chosenness means. And to do that, he has to take them out of their little village of Capernaum. And he has to lead them on a journey to a new place and new towns. And before the story is over, they will have seen a lot of things. They will have heard Jesus say, you know, I have sheep that you don't know anything about. Interesting. There are others in this world besides you that are dear to me. Before it's over, they will get a new mind about these things, which is literally what the word repent means. The word repent does not mean be guilty. It's made of two Greek words, metanoia, which means beyond your mind. He says to repent means you got to get beyond your mind, beyond your little mind. You've got to get the mind of Christ, is what Paul will say. You got to get a bigger mind. That's what repentance means. And so they'll leave their daddy's boats and they'll follow Jesus, and they will hear amazing things. They will hear him tell a story about a pagan, a non-Jew, a Samaritan. a member of a category of people who surely their daddy in the boats had taught them what was not God's people. Not a chosen one. And Jesus tells this story about a Samaritan who does the good thing, the neighborly thing, the brotherly thing. Yeah, it's not one of the family. One of God's family. One of the ones that's kin to us that we've not met yet. And Jesus will take them to meet these. They'll meet this funny, sassy Canaanite woman. Jesus will say, I hadn't seen faith like this among our own people. And they will meet a Roman soldier, more than one Roman Italians over there, strange exotic people. They probably even ate lasagna. And Jesus will praise them, these foreigners, for their faith and their devotion. Jesus will say, I seldom see such faith among our people. It's always puzzled me that Jesus seems to, at the beginning of his ministry, break up these families. He leaves old man Zebedee there by himself in the boat and takes his sons away from him. And of course, everybody knew there's that commandment, honor the father and the mother. But Jesus has to take these guys away from them for a while. I don't think it means they're not good people. But you know, sometimes it's just hard for them to give the new mind, the bigger imagination, to help them get beyond their mind, to see how great God is, how wide God's mercy is. And so Jesus invites us to follow him. He invites us to get beyond our mind, to be opened to the wideness of God's mercy. Not on the basis of what my people think, but by the criteria of God's universal love, to love one another, not as my people love, but to love one another as God loves. To see the world from the perspective of heaven, to see it from the kingdom of heaven's perspective. So sometimes, most of the time maybe, we need to leave home a little bit so we can come back home. Being the kind of really good people that our people really want us to be. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, by your power, by your spirit, by your mercy, open our hearts to your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to join in a confession of faith. It's found in our hymnal, but it's printed in your order of worship. Would you stand as we say together what we believe? And so let us say, we believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. People of God, sons and daughters of our creation, the one who created us all. Go into the world in peace, love the Lord, serve him, render unto no person evil, for evil shown you, but love one another, as God has loved you. God who loves us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen.